Amen. He is risen. You know, I don't think the disciples and those that met the Lord Jesus stopped doing that on Monday. Amen? Sometimes I think that we get a little quick to get rid of Resurrection Sunday. We should have marvelous Monday and terrific Tuesday and wonderful Wednesday. Amen? The Lord is good. Great to be with you tonight. Always a joy to come and be able to share God's Word with you. You know, I have been, because I think we live in an area devastated by the fires, we have an awful lot of really, really stressed people. Tonight, if you're stressed, we're going to try and transform that from being stressed to being blessed. Amen? The body of Christ is supposed to be blessed. We are not supposed to be stressed. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It is not a dull, boring existence. It is an abundant life. Amen? I pray tonight as we dig into the Word, so we have an opportunity to feast on it, for it indeed is the bread of life, that God would speak to us and fill us and anoint us and take those weights and those measures, those things that keep us from running the race, and deal with them by the power of His Spirit, that we might leave this place filled to overflowing, that we could be an effective witness in the world around us. Would you join me? Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight that it wasn't simply that You rose from the grave to guarantee us eternal life, but You gave us life now that's supposed to be abundant. And we pray You'd fill this place tonight with Your Spirit, that You'd move amongst us as Your people, that You would take burdens, Lord, that You would lift weights, that You would take the heartaches and the pains of this world and take them captive in Your marvelous love. And so, Lord, tonight we dedicate this service to You and ask that You would speak to us by the power of Your Word. We ask all these things in the mighty name of our risen Savior, Jesus. Amen. Turn, if you would, to the 118th Psalm. For this is, verse 24 says, the day that the Lord has made. The problem with a lot of the body of Christ is they forget the other half. It's usually, and it's miserable. It's sort of like hell, but it's not as warm. It's difficult, it's hard, it's arduous. And all of those things, in a practical sense, are quite true, aren't they? We have difficulties in life, let's not kid ourselves. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So if the Lord wants us to rejoice and be glad, does He want us stressed, obsessed, and consequently not blessed? The answer is no. So He must be able to do something about it. Amen? Because we live in a world that's pretty messed up. The fact that we're having to debate whether marriage is between Adam and Eve instead of Adam and Steve, it's an amazement to me. But we are. We're trying to select a president from amongst some candidates that I don't think any of us are too happy about. There's lots of things going on in our world. You probably are right now facing the same crises in your lives that others are around the globe. We've been shielded from it so long in this country that we're starting to complain about things that don't even matter at the end of the day. And I pray today the Lord will set us free tonight, that He just fall upon us and help us to receive that we can rejoice and be glad for that day the Lord made specifically for you. It's not a mistake. God doesn't wake up in the morning and go, well, I'm just not going to take care of Jeff today. We'll see what happens. It'll be kind of exciting. The Lord made my days before there were any, His Word declares. So He must have a plan to use it somehow. And if He wants me to rejoice and be glad, then He must have the power to enable me to do so when I'm having times of difficulty. I used to think somewhat along these lines that, you know, now that I finally got into ministry, that things would be okay with the rest of the world because I was there. That somehow God in His marvelous wisdom had anointed me to that position and the world would be at last safe. And then the reality of it hit and I realized that God operates at a deficit every day because I'm alive. I think I used to bring stress into most people's lives. You know, I had the gift of discouragement, and we do get stressed out. And it's not to make light of it. The mortgage crisis is real. The crisis with our economy is real. The job market, the difficulties in it are real. If you have high schoolers, that is real. Amen. In Jesus' name, I'm all for segregated schools. I don't want you to think the wrong thing. Boys in one, girls in the other. Life's hard. But if God wants us to have joy and He wants us rejoicing, then I believe tonight He is able. He is able to keep those whom He has begun that good work in, right into the day of Christ Jesus. And He wants to bless us. I want to give you a few things tonight. Number one, I think we have a problem really seizing the day that the Lord has made. We seize days that Satan have made. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says this, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Beloved, we have some pretty evil days. Matter of fact, I followed Satan's chauffeur down the mountain a couple of weeks ago. And somehow Satan got my Hummer. I always wanted one. I can't have one because God would spank me for it. But and I'm driving behind it, and you know, you kind of think that cars that size would go over 25. I don't know why it wouldn't. But after 10 miles of my neck veins bulging out and me thinking vile thoughts about that car careening into the canyon, it all of a sudden dawned on me, "Hey, Jeff, why don't you pray for him?" And I thought, that's got to be Satan. "Lord, you see how they're driving." Yeah, pray for them. Honest truth, I prayed. 30 seconds later, they pulled into a turnout. I get it, Lord. I understand that. You see, I had seized part of a day that God didn't want me to have. His design was not that angst. His design was not for my blood pressure to be up. His design was not for me to get all wigged out over the fact, how could someone drive that poorly and have that much money? But I was carrying that burden. And the moment that I released it to the Lord and said, "Lord, bless them, help them understand they need to pull over," they pulled over. Sometimes we forget to do the obvious. Amen? Anybody else carry around stuff that all of a sudden kind of, "Oh, I should add a V8. And there you're going, "Oh, pray, okay." Remember that the Lord died on Calvary's cross for that. "Oh, I'm sorry, God, I forgot that part." While I'm busy cursing them to their fourth and fifth generation, declaring the fleas of 1,000 camels would infest them. And I stop and I pray and say, "Lord, help them. Lord, bless them. Lord, touch them. I don't know what they're going through, God, but I want you to touch them." You see, we forget to do that.
God has a mapped out plan for us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And it begins, Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, verse 1 declares, let us lay aside what? Every weight. Not some of them, not part of them, not the ones we can think of and name. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. You know what? I was ensnared by something I know bugs me to no end. Here I am, I'm cruising down the road, and my joy is stolen by a hunk of metal. That ought not be. I ought to be a little brighter in Christ than that. Set it aside. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God sets the course. God sets the race. God maps out where we're going. We only think those things are coincidental. We only think those things are accidental. We only think those things that happen to us only happen to us. God has set the course for your life and for my life. Amen? He knows what He's doing. Even when He allows things that we would not choose for ourselves to touch our lives. And by the way, it's a cross-country course. It is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And it contains some tough hills. It contains some valleys. It contains some places that you would not choose to go. Probably some poison oak something that you don't want to run through is going to come in your course today. Probably has already been there. No one chooses cancer. No one chooses to lose a child. No one wakes up in the morning, boy, I hope we have marital problems today. But God allows those things because He works all things together for the good. Amen? For those who love Him. Do you love Him? All right, then tonight can we safely say that He works all things together for the good for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes, His set course, the direction He would take you, the direction He would have you go. So my problem is often that I seize a day that wasn't mapped out for me. I grab someone else's day. Matter of fact, I actually lust after other people's days. It's like, Lord, look at that. How come they're not going through that? How come they have those things and I don't? Anybody else think that way? You want other people's days until you figure out what it was that got them to those days that they're living, and then you find out you don't want their days either. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Amen. We're going to always want something we don't have. That's why the Lord put us in a sheepfold. Amen. Stone walls with a hole in it. He stands there as a door of the sheep guarding it, and we're inside going, man, check that out. Look, get over there. We're never happy, are we? We seize things God doesn't want for us. We have to seize the day the Lord has made for us. Even if that contains stuff like tax forms. I actually believe that the Antichrist really heads up the IRS. He just does. Only he could come up with a form to figure out what it is that foreign tax you paid on a mutual fund 20 years ago. It was 12 cents then, it's 14 now. I don't know. We have all kinds of things, and we run into those walls. Beloved, would you start looking at the dent your head left and try and figure out how to get through it? Sometimes it's that simple. Life's not easy. But it can be joyous. It becomes a challenge. And after that 10 miles of frustration, I pulled over and said, Lord, this must not be the day that you want for me. I seized something that doesn't belong to me. Would you lay hold of the day that the Lord's made. Philippians chapter 3 declares this in verse 12, not that I have already attained. Not any of us, not one of us. Paul writing there, not that I have already attained or that I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ laid hold of me. Amen? He laid hold of us for a purpose. He made a day. He wants us to walk in it. And that day will get through. That day will have that purposeful, willful joy. We walk as a winner in it. And beloved, I spend so much of my time wasting energy on things that ultimately do nothing but add to the enemy's cause in my life. And I want to get away from that, not only as a pastor, but just as a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm sick of being angry. I'm sick of being self-pitying. I am sick to death of worrying about things I can't change. I had a young man come to me, and he was just totally freaked out over what's going on in the world today. And I said, but one day heaven. And he says, yeah, but today's hell. I said, but one day heaven. He said, but I'm going through this thing with my girlfriend. And I said, but the answer's heaven. Heaven trumps everything. Amen? We need to live that way. Yeah, it might be circumstantially difficult, but the day that the Lord has made for you one day will lead to your final breath and you will be home with Jesus. Amen. We need to live it, beloved. Nobody can live it for us. We have to lay hold of that day. Second thing, we need to develop our potential that we have in Christ, not in the world. I put a lot of effort into building things that have no eternal purpose. I can do all things, Paul said there in Philippians chapter 4. All things through Christ who strengthens me. How many things can I do without him? Jesus said, nothing. You got a choice with him or against him. With him leading and developing what he made you for. If he made you and he made specific time for you to walk in, he gave you certain gifts, does he not know exactly how to utilize them to their fullest potential? The answer is yes, he does. The problem is we often try and develop something that God is not trying to do in us. We struggle against the very plan that he has for us. 1 John chapter 4 declares that greater is he who's in us, in you, in me, than he is in this world. You're not a loser, you're a winner. You're unique. God made you specifically to fulfill a purpose. As David penned there in the 139th Psalm in verse 14, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully, uniquely, distinctly. And Christ has something he wants to do with us. And you know what? It's not routine. It's not boring. It's not evil. For his thoughts are you, towards you are a future and a hope, and they're good and they're not evil. Amen? So if those things are true, God's word declares them as promises to us, then what do you think God sees when he sees you? He sees unlimited potential based on who he is. Sometimes people, well, you know, I can't. And I often will look at them somewhat in jest and I say, no, it's not can't. You won't. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do nothing without him, but everything with him is another way to look at it. Sometimes we're crippled by the haunts of our past, those things that we used to be. That old inferiority of the old man that's being transformed. And sometimes that old man crops up, doesn't it? I said to a group of junior hires one time, yeah, I beat my old man every day. And the kids looked at me like, you what? I mean my old nature. I try and put him to death. He's been crucified with Christ. The problem is he keeps pulling out the nails. And he comes and hunts me down every once in a while. And he says something stupid to me. But we have the power to withstand that. problem is a lot of times we get into routines that are not healthy for us spiritually, don't we? I was talking to a couple of guys in our fellowship up on the mountain, and I asked them, I said, you know, because a lot of us drive a long ways. Not uncommon. Matter of fact, I've got a guy in my fellowship that drives 8 hours a day, and he does not have a trucking job. He commutes 8 hours a day. And I asked him, I said, so what do you do when you start the morning? He says, well, as I'm running by the coffee pot and I grab my mug and I get out there and I try and warm up my vehicle, and then I head down the highway and I start to drive down the road, and by the time I usually get somewhere in the L.A. basin, I actually wake up. And I said, that's not a recipe for success spiritually. You see, that routine does not include some time between you and Jesus. Some time in His Word, some time in worship and devotion to Him. And our life is not a contest where there are winners and losers. There are only winners. And God would have us to take that time to break out of that routine of the tyranny of the urgent, the things that just drive us on and on and on. The things that when we look back on, I don't even know why I did some of those things. But you know, the things that often go first are the very things that God wants us to do. Take time to kiss your wife goodbye in the morning, men, and tell her you love her. It might be the last time you get an opportunity to do that. Take time to thank your Lord for everything that you have, because no matter what you have in this country, you have more than everywhere else. And I think we're not thankful like we should be. And we're not developing that potential of who we are in Christ by being thankful and teaching others to be the same. You know why we've raised a generation of kids that don't know how to be thankful? It's because they learned it from us parents. Do we stop and thank the Lord? Do we stop and talk to Him? If He's the King of the universe, if He's the Creator God, if He's El Shaddai, the Mighty One, ought we not talk to Him once in a while and find out what He thinks? Amen? The good news is He gave us a lot of instruction ahead of time. You have a Bible in your laps, most of you. Do we stop, get out of that routine of the tyranny of the urgent? Do we pick up the sword, the Word of God, the bread of life? Do we find a place in it to feast? We need to do that. If we're not, then we're putting all of our effort, our time, our energy, our talents into things that will not develop that potential that we have in Christ. Work is a wonderful thing. We need to do that. A man that does not take care of his own is worse than an unbeliever. Paul wrote to Timothy, but it doesn't mean that you kick God out of the equation. Amen? It doesn't mean that we have to put all of our potential into the things that will only build things for this life. But ye therefore lay up treasures in heaven, where moth cannot eat and rust will not corrode. Eternal things. Do you pray with your kids? I'm stunned as a director of a youth camp. When I talk to kids, how many of them tell me their parents have never prayed with them? Never. Develop our potential in Christ. There's no more important thing you can do than to start your day with Jesus. Get out of that old routine and get into something new where the Lord is first. Third thing, let God be in control. You know, I'm a man. I like being a man, but there are problems with being a man. Can I have an amen from the men? Amen. I thought the ladies were going to have to do it for us. You see, men do not like to be passengers. Ever. You put 40 men on a bus, they're all going to want to drive the bus. You put four of them on the road on a hunting trip, they don't even care about the hunting trip. Can I drive? We don't like to ride. And I think it spills over into our spiritual life. You ladies may struggle with it a little bit, but us guys, we're really bad. God prepared, as Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, us, our We are his workmanship, his poema, his artwork, his poems. We are the work of his heart and his hands. And he prepared our days beforehand that we should walk in them. But he wants to tell us how to go. He wants to tell us where we're supposed to be. He needs to drive. You see, part of the problem is I tell God what I'm supposed to do. You probably do too. If this is the day that the Lord has made, shouldn't we be seeking him to find out what we're supposed to be doing? A lot of times we don't. Matter of fact, he's the last guy that I talk to sometimes. Get up in the morning, you get going. Man, I turn on everything. You know, we live in a society, and I'll tell you this again from very practical experience, seeing several hundred thousand kids over the last 15 years. We are way too connected in this world. We don't have time for anything because we're too busy maintaining stuff. I saw a kid, literal story, a Bluetooth headset, one for two phones, one on each ear. I call that Satan stereo. Who do you know who you're talking to? Looks like you're talking to yourself.
I don't know. What do you think?
Boy, we go in and we turn on our computers and we grab our PDAs and our cell phones. I have this new Palm Trio cell phone. Think smarter than I am. And I turn it on. Hello. I am now on. And I kind of look at it like, I don't care. Have you talked to the Lord? I don't want to talk to my phone. There's a human being on the other side of it. That's okay. But we spend all of this time and effort and energy into getting organized and gaining control of our lives, and then we realize it's even more out of control if we did nothing. We need to hear from the Lord to organize those thoughts. We need to gather that wisdom that comes from a multitude of counsel. We need to receive from him by the power of his word. God made that perfect day. If I don't want to be overtaxed, if I don't want to be stressed, then I better not make my own plan. Because the one thing that my life has proven is I can mess up any good thing. I can take control of something and I know for sure I can mess it up. But I've never had the Lord steer me wrong. I've never had him drive me the wrong destination or the wrong direction. And the journey is a whole lot more enjoyable with him driving. Don't let those things, those tools that I think the Lord has given us, become an excuse to not be tapped into the power of the Spirit, to not be feasting on his word. If we're his beloved children, if we are joint heirs with Christ, then by our very nature, we are supposed to be seeking after him. Letting him control us, letting him drive. What matters most is what matters to God. Amen. What matters most is what matters to God. That doesn't mean that you stick your brains in a barrel at the bottom of the mountain when you go up the hill like we think everybody does that lives down here. We do that. I'm sorry, but it's just something we do. It's just like, well, where did they leave their brains? Why are they parked four wide on the two lanes? I don't know. But you know what? We're all guilty of that at times. We're all guilty of checking out spiritually. Interesting thing to me, almost everything that I know how to do well in my life, I've learned by doing it, and I learned by making mistakes. But you know what? Some of those mistakes were the most wonderful, glorious times in my life. God enjoys teaching his kids how to drive. Because he's not sitting there like some sadistic driver's training instructor. See, when I was in high school, they still had that. You know, the two-wheeled cars with the brake on the other side. We had a driver's training instructor, and we were pretty sure that he was from Mars. And you would get in the car, and just to mess with you, he would say, stop! He didn't really want you to. He wanted you to look around and see if you were supposed to stop. But after a while, you got really quick at looking around, trying to figure out what exactly he was trying to say. The Lord allows things in our lives so that we can learn from him. He sits there while we're going through those difficulties and he goes, it's going to be okay. You need to do it this way. There are things that you can only learn by going through the crucible of life's difficulty. Amen. Anybody else learn tenderness by being beat up? I did. Learn to get rid of that pride by having some of the pride knocked out of you. Well, it's the way the Lord works, and he drives that life that we live, the direction that he would have us go. And it's such an incredible journey. So just like we learned how to do most things, we need to get in the car with the Lord. Let him determine where it is we're going. When you go down for your driving test at the DMV, my son is going to drive this year, which is frightening, but and I'm not sure that I'm ready for it. But I can guarantee you this, when he goes to the DMV, he's not going to walk up and say, oh, by the way, I've got the course set. You just get in the car and I'll show you exactly how well I can drive. No, the person that's going to witness the test will get in and tell him, okay, go out of the parking lot and turn right. When you get up to the corner, turn left. I want you to parallel park over there. Let the Lord do what the Lord does in your life. Let him instruct us. Let us organize our lives this way. I'll give you three little things under a subcategory here that you can just jot down. Your day ought to be planned out this way. What is God's plan for my life in light of my today? Secondarily, what is God's plan for my life in light of tomorrow? And then finally, what is God's plan for my life in light of eternity? And then live your life with God driving, because so valuable is that day that you are going to pay with it with one day of your life. You're going to sacrifice your life for that day to fulfill some plan, aren't you? Better gods than yours. Better gods than mine. Better that he gives the direction and the instruction. Because we're going to give up an entire day to fulfill that plan. Fourth thing tonight. Something that I had to learn the hard way in my life. I used to be totally stressed out. And the problem was, is the people that I learned from, the people that I gleaned from, were exactly the wrong kind of people. Fourth thing. Associate with people who will help you grow in Christ. Proverbs 1:15 says that a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Seeking after the things of the Lord, not the things of the world. It's the only way to improve our quality of life with regard to others on this planet. Because as Scripture declares, bad company will corrupt good morals. 100% of the time, by the way. Our jails are full of people who have lived that out. We need to seek after people who will help us grow. I'm so blessed as a pastor to have in my life men like your pastor, Jack. Dear friend Steve Mays, Pastor Chuck, many men who have come along and helped in the process of growing me up. We don't like to do that sometimes. We don't want anybody to know that we've got faults or we've got weaknesses. We have things going on in our lives. And consequently, we carry that stuff around and we're stressed about it, aren't we? Because you're just waiting for the day that somebody's going to unveil that thing in your life. If you unveil those things with someone who loves you, they will help you grow through it. They will help that thing be transformed by the power of the living God into a tool that God can use in your life. John Wooden, UCLA's incredible former basketball coach, said this. He said, it's not what you learn before, but it's what you learn after you know it all that counts. Amen? It's an amazing thing to me. I
probably all of us in here that have a few extra years have looked at our own parents and, you know, you guys are like, you're from some other world. And then you realize that you're just like them. Matter of fact, you're more conservative than they are. I was growing up as a teenager. I had hair down to the middle of my back, and I thought, you know, I was just the coolest thing on earth. And then I realized that when my dad looked at me and he said, son, you look like a girl. I said that very thing to my own son. And I meant it with all of my heart. And he responded to that, that's not very nice. I said, no, but it's true. Yeah, associate with people that love the Lord. Seek out brothers and sisters in Christ. As Paul said to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, it says this, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press hold that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to apprehended as to this one thing that I do, but forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal, the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Find people who can help you reach that goal. If you've ever played any type of team sports, you've got a what? A coach, amen? Got somebody to come alongside and help you learn how to play the game, to help you succeed in what God wants you to do. Helps you learn those incredible truths found in God's Word and to live them out. Men, I'm going to challenge you. There's something that we need to do in our world, and that's we need to mentor our young men. Because I get them by the thousands every year that have had very little godly male influence in their life. I'm going to challenge you. Train up young men in the way that they should go so that when they get old, they'll not depart from it. People who set Christ-like standards, Christ-like goals for themselves and help you do the same. People who are reliable, consistent. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says this in verse 1, and therefore my son, speaking to Timothy, Paul writes, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and these things that you have heard from me, and among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Amen? Reliable, consistent, teaching the things of the Lord. You know, I'm amazed when I travel to schools and minister in places that are not purely Christian. You know what? Those young men want to hear of Christian values. They are really concerned. They want to be taught. And the only way to pass those things along is to seek out people who know them and to emulate them. Learn from them. Be able to speak the truth. A third thing that can help us grow. Seek out people who are truth speakers. Amen? James 5, verse 19. For brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he's turned a sinner from the error of his way and will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Man, being people of the truth, training in the truth, training and being consistent, those things all increase our joy. When I realize how much the Lord loves me, and I realize I have people in my life that come alongside, when I'm not doing too well, they can lift me up and help me set those high standards for myself, help me be consistent, help me be reliable, help me speak the truth. Paul would write to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 4, verse 14. It begins this way, that we should no longer be children, growing up, maturing, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we might grow up in all things. You know what? I have to be truthful with my children. If I want them to grow into the young men that God wants them to be, I cannot build their lives on falsehood. You know, I would like them to think that I can bench press 800 pounds. But when they see me on the machine and it only has 100 pounds on it, they kind of know that's not truthful. I have to set standards for them that they can then emulate
And it is in the simple things that we need to model that truth, and especially in the biblical things. Am I a man whose life is guarded and guided by what God's Word says I ought to be in Christ Jesus? And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and self-control. You know what? The world doesn't teach a lot of that anymore. That comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we learn it and we pass it along as a heritage to those around us, we are helping them grow into the image of Jesus. And there's no better thing we can do with each other. There's no better thing that we can do with our kids than to teach them to be like Jesus. How about living a balanced life? Man, I know so many people whose lives are completely out of control. They are so not temperate in all things, as Scripture declares that a man of God ought to be. They're either hot or they're cold. They're either on or off. Ladies, in case you don't know it, that describes men. We got one button, it's on, off, that's it. We're incapable of much else. But when we're on, we ought to be busy about doing the things that God's called us to do. You ladies, you got 857 knobs on you. And there are all kinds of different colors and dials and switches. And us guys, we don't know what to do with all that. We just start flipping buttons. But we balance each other out. I am so grateful for the way the Lord has brought Connie into my life, my wife of 31 years, because she balances me. She is what I am not. And I learned something from that relationship, that the Lord wants us to be balanced. He wants us to teach other people to be balanced, to have that consistency and to have that wonderful temperament of the Lord. I can't imagine that the Lord roamed around one day hot and one day cold. You know, one day he's healing people. Nope, I'm tired. Come back tomorrow. You realize how tough it is to heal people all day. I'm getting a little tired of this whole healing thing anyway. No, the Lord was always available. The only way you can do that is if you're not burnt out. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus was God, incarnate in human flesh. Had a few more gifts and talents than we do. But the principle is this. If I'm seeking the day that the Lord has made and I'm growing in Christ and I'm being like He is and I possess those gifts that He has for me and I'm doing those things which He has called me to be, then I'm not stressed out. I am consistent and I do have what is needed in that situation where the Lord would put me into something that might tax me a little bit. Where I fall short is when I'm relying on the arm of flesh. Amen? Being balanced, as Paul would write to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24, don't you know that all who run the race, everybody runs, but only one receives the prize? Amen. So why not run to win? That requires that you train, and it requires that you're temperate, that you're moderate, that you're down the middle. We also need to be disciplined. We need to be focused. I don't want to fight, just as Paul would go on to say, as one who beats the air. That's rather unproductive. But one who has a goal in mind. Fifth thing tonight that I think we could say is essential, if we want to get rid of some stress and we want to get blessed, if we desire the things of the Lord, beloved, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and it's kind of a lost teaching anymore, but family has to come first. Family has to come first. Scripture begins with the element of the human family. Amen? Amen. Was Adam and Eve producing children? That's the foundation of society. It is one of the chief analogies that Paul used to describe the church itself as a husband and a wife, as a family unit. I'm going to give you a little tip here. I may not always be a pastor. But so long as I take breath on this earth, I am going to be Connie's husband and Brandon and Austin's father. I may not be in ministry my entire life, but I will always be my wife's husband and my son's father. And what I am in Christ needs to be the best in my own home. If I can't live it there, then how can I live it anywhere else? If it doesn't start with me in my house serving the Lord, as Joshua declared, then how am I able to do any of these other things very well? It has to start there. How can I expect my wives to submit to me as unto Christ if I'm not being like Jesus? How can I possibly look her in the eye and say, honey, you know, you just need to submit, when what she'd be submitting to is the same thing as the world? See, I need to be like Jesus. My family has to be first. The same thing applies to my children. Of all of those human relationships, God laid it out very clearly in Genesis chapter 2, beloved. He made no mistakes. The very first thing that he said that wasn't good in all of his creation was Adam's loneliness. Amen? He corrected that by giving him a wife, by making a helpmate comparable or his completion. And you know, when my life is at its very best is when I start my very best with my very own family before I go out into the world every day. Before I try and tackle anything else, let me be Jesus Christ in my own home. Before I go and try and teach anybody else anything else, have I been like the Lord to my own wife and to my own children? If I'm a bond slave to Christ, the first place he's asked me to serve is in my own home. Sometimes we, those of us in full-time ministry, we almost get caught in the trap of thinking ministry is more important than our own children. I will tell you a little secret, whether you talk to Billy Graham or whether you talk to Chuck Smith or just about any other pastor that you can name, almost without exception, they will tell you their greatest regret is not spending more time with their own kids. Not ministering the love of Christ to their own children first. Being Jesus Christ to their own wife first. And as for me and my house, if I'm going to serve the Lord, I want them to know that I love them unreservedly as the Lord loves them. And you know what? When I walk out of the house, the whole world could be waiting outside, a bunch of barking Dobermans, and it's all good. Because I know that my Savior loves me. I know my wife loves me. I know my children love me. And the rest of it kind of doesn't matter at the end of the day. I'm going to go out and be successful in what the Lord's called me to do, because it's me and Him first. Then it's my wife and I. Throw in my children. That's a recipe for victory, beloved. You got Jesus. You got a tight family unit. You got all that anyone could ask for. You look around this room and you talk to some of the more seasoned saints. Those that have had the blessing of watching their children grow up and prosper in the Lord and be used of God. There is no greater joy. It is absolutely not about their house. It's absolutely not about the motorhome. It is absolutely not about that bumper sticker that I want to blow up every time I see it. I'm spending my kids' inheritance. God's word declares that you are to leave an inheritance to your children's children and to their children. Why? Because that inheritance is first spiritual in Jesus Christ. And secondarily, it's provisional, because you're showing them how good the Lord is. Hasn't the Lord been good to us? Hasn't the Lord been good? If I were to be divorced, I would also be divorced from the ministry. Be disqualified. I don't want to run that race. I want the Lord to work in my life right to the end. I'd have a desire to spend my time wisely for the Lord. And I need to take care of my own family. I'm sick to death of men coming into my office
Well, my wife and I are getting a divorce. And I ask them why. And you know what it is 99% of the time? So they haven't talked in about 3 years. They haven't sat down and communicated to one another in a meaningful way. And consequently, you want stress? There are very few things that are more stressful than divorce. You want to be blessed? Bless your wife, men. Bless your children. Wives, love your husband. We're not very lovable, but love us anyway. Believe it or not, we actually need you to love us. We need to do better at telling our wives that, men. Admitting our faults and our weaknesses. Learning how to say we're sorry. And don't follow it with but. Let me get a t-shirt. I'm sorry, but circle and a slash through it. Could solve all of my marital counseling with that t-shirt alone. Just read the shirt, go home. Do what God's word says. As bond slaves of Christ, I want to give 110% and let it start my own home. Sixth and final thing tonight as we wrap up. Would you set some reasonable goals for yourself? I learned a long time ago that I'm not Billy Graham and I'm not Pastor Jack. I'm just Jeff. I am what God made Jeff. And the more comfortable I am in my own skin and who God's made me and what God's made me, the more effective I am for the kingdom. He didn't make me any of those other people. He did not give me their gifts, their talents, or anything else. He made me so unique that He fashioned my days before there were any. He fashioned that race that was set before me. And I am who I am by the will of Christ. And I need to set some goals that are reasonable for that. Very often, as the body of Christ, we just, you know, we think too prayer. Well, I prayed. Sometimes when you ask people, well, have you prayed about it? Yeah, I prayed about it. How many times? Twice. The first time I figured God wasn't listening. The second time I figured He didn't care. That's really about as far as people go sometimes. Have you labored in prayer? Have you asked the Lord to set some reasonable goals for you? You know, sometimes to think that God's going to solve something after the 10 minutes of prayer is a little unreasonable. If you're dealing with kids that are going sideways right now, get ready for a long haul. It probably isn't going to be over tomorrow. It's unreasonable to think that when you go home, all of a sudden there will be halos around their head. Just be thankful that the tail's shorter than it used to be. Set goals that you yourself would want to have set for you. You know, sometimes we set goals for our family and for our lives in general, that if someone were going to put those things on us. I have teenage boys, and just to see their floor in their room is kind of miraculous, actually. Yeah, it used to just stress me. I'd come home because I grew up in a household that one sock was pretty much going to get you a whooping. Two socks, you were going to sleep outside. And God forbid there were three socks on the floor and you'd have to find a new home. Just the way it was. And I kind of carried that over and I realized, you know what? God loves my sons more than socks. Amen? Is it really that big a deal? Sometimes we major in some awful minor things. We have to patiently run that race. Remember, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And in order to do that, we need to spend time in the Word, time in prayer, time with family, time in fellowship like we're doing tonight, developing those characteristics, being a godly husband or a godly wife or godly children, and taking those things out into the world and letting God do what He wants to do with our lives. How do we stay blessed and not stressed? Seize the day God's way. Develop your potential in Christ. Prioritize those days that the Lord has made for us. Associate with people that can help you grow. Make sure your family is first. Set some reasonable goals. If we'll do those things, then we're walking in what He's planned for us. We can remember that that walk is a long journey. We can remember that we need to read the manual. Amen. Pick up the Bible. Pick up the Word of God. Check out what it says and ask the Lord to speak to you from His Word. It's alive. It jumps right off the page if we'll care to look. Remember that often our thoughts are not His thoughts. It's what Isaiah declared. Your ways are above mine, Lord. They're up in the heavens. Mine are down here on this earth. Speak those things He speaks to you out loud, by the way. Tell other people about it. Let people know what you're doing. I'm trying to prioritize my day in the Lord, and I don't want to get caught up in the tyranny of the things that used to bind me up. Make sure that the Lord is your personal data assistant. Make sure that you're checking in with Him before you head out the door every morning. Make sure that He's given some direction. You know, I'm amazed at how many people have a GPS unit in their car now. The old way used to be a map and compass. That was part of the journey back in the 50s and 60s when families went on vacation. And the maps were about the size of the back seat. You got Northern California, I've got Southern California. You're in the back seat, I'm in the front seat. Just look at that. We wouldn't think of going anywhere without the map. We had it marked out, and you got out a pencil, and you drew a line down which highway or campground you were camping at, and all of those things. Would you do that with the Lord? Would you do that with the Lord? He's got a plan for your life. He wants to direct you. He wants to send you down the right roads. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He also won't mislead you. Keeping your family where it belongs. Letting the Lord guide and direct our paths. Amen. God doesn't want you stressed. He wants you blessed. Amen. Let's pray. Father, tonight we just come and thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us. And God, we are so grateful for what You do in our lives so often that we do not see. Lord, You transform us into the image of Jesus. And Lord, as we are on the other side of the resurrection, Lord, may we live that resurrected life. Lord, may we seek You with all of our hearts and find You, as Your Word declares we shall. And Lord, we pray that You would just be the lifter of our head, Lord, the sustainer of our souls. God, we love You and we offer ourselves to You as living sacrifices. And we pray tonight for any who have come to this place. And Lord, they are burdened and they are weighted down and they are stressed. God, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would minister right now the truth of who You are. That You came that we might have life, a resurrected life that is an abundant life. And we ask that You would just speak the words of truth to them. They would not leave this place without committing their lives to You and inviting You in as Lord and Savior, that they might experience Your blessings. We love You. We thank You for this time tonight. We pray Your blessing, Lord, upon Pastor Jack and Lisa. God, would You bless them as they spend some time together? Would You fill them up, Lord, that they might come back to this Your house and bless Your people. We love You. We thank You. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.